The Four Swans, a novel of Cornwall, 1795-1797. Winston Graham. To Fred and Gladys. Book 1, Chapter 1. 1. Daniel Behenna, physician and surgeon, was 40 years old and lived in a square, detached, untidy house in Goodwives Lane, Truro. He was himself square in build and detached in manner, but not at all unkempt, since the citizens of the town and district paid well for the benefit of his modern physical knowledge. He had married early, and then again a second time, but both his wives had died, and he and his two young daughters were now looked after by a Mrs. Childs, who lived in. His assistant, Mr. Arthur, slept over the stables. Behenna had been in Truro only 5 years, having come direct from London, where he had not only established a reputation as a practitioner, but had written and published a monograph amending Smellie's famous Treatise on Midwifery. And since his arrival, he had much impressed the wealthier provincials with his authority and skill. In particular, authority. When men were ill, they did not want the pragmatic approach of a Dwight Ennis, who used his eyes and saw how often his remedies failed, and therefore was tentative in his decisions. They did not want someone who came in and sat and talked pleasantly, and had an unassuming word for the children, even a pat for the dog. They liked the importance, the confidence, the attack of a demigod, whose voice was already echoing through the house as he mounted the stairs, who had the maid scurrying for water or blankets, and the patient's relatives hanging on every word. Behenna was such a man. His very appearance made the heart beat faster, even if, as often happened, it later stopped beating altogether. Failure did not depress him. If one of his patients died, it was not the fault of his remedies, it was the fault of the patient. He dressed well and to the best standards of his profession. When he travelled far, as his mounting reputation more and more obliged him to do, he rode a handsome black horse called Emir, and wore buckskin breeches and top boots, with a heavy cloak thrown over a velvet coat with brass buttons, and in the winter, thick woolen gloves to keep his hands warm. When in town, he used a muff instead of the gloves, and carried a gold-banded cane, which had a vinaigrette in the head containing herbs to combat infection. In an evening in early October 1795, he returned from local calls across the river, where he had prescribed his heroic treatment for two patients suffering from summer cholera and had drawn 3 pints of fluid from the stomach of a dropsical corn merchant. It had been a warm month after the bad summer and the deadly winter which had preceded it, and the little town had been drowsing gently in the day's heat. The smells of sewage and decaying refuse had been strong all afternoon, but with evening a breeze had sprung up and the air was sweet again. The tide was full and the river had crept in and surrounded the clustered town like a sleeping lake. As he reached his front door, Dr. Behenna waved away a small group of people who had started up at his coming. In the main, the less well-to-do went to the apothecaries of the town. The poor made do with what nostrums they could brew themselves, or buy for a penny from a travelling gypsy, but sometimes he helped an odd case without charge. He was not an ungenerous man, and it ministered to his ego. So always a few waited about for him, hoping for a moment's consultation on his doorstep. But today, he was not in the mood. As he left his horse to the stable boy and entered the house, Mrs. Childs, his housekeeper, came out to greet him. Her hair stood out, and she was wiping her hands on a soiled towel.
"Dr. Behenna, sir."
Her voice was a whisper.
"There'll be a gent to see ye, in the parlour. He've been here for some 25 minutes. I don't know rightly how long ye'd be gone. But he says to me, he says, 'I'll wait.' Just like that. 'I'll wait.' So I put him in the parlour."
He stared at her while he set down his cloak and bag. She was a slovenly young woman, and he often wondered why he tolerated her.